These words from an essay titled My Life were written by Oliver Sacks, neurologist and author, when he learned that he had an incurable cancer. He died in 2015 at the age of 82. My generation is on the way out, and each death I have felt as an abruption, a tearing away of part of myself. There will be no one like us when we are gone, but then there is no one like anyone else, ever. When people die, they cannot be replaced. They leave holes that cannot be filled, for it is the fate, the genetic and neural fate, of every human being to be a unique individual, to find our own path, to live our own life, to die our own death. I cannot pretend I am without fear, but my predominant feeling is one of gratitude. I have loved and been loved. I have been given much, and I have given something in return. I have read and traveled and thought and written. I have had an intercourse with the world, the special intercourse of writers and readers. Above all, I have been a sentient being, a thinking animal on this beautiful planet. And that in itself has been an enormous privilege and adventure.
So the initial inspiration for this morning's service was a quote by Thornton Wilder. He wrote, We can only be said to be alive in those moments when our hearts are conscious of our treasures. And this morning I hope to make your hearts conscious of your treasures, your greatest treasures, and they might not be what you would expect to hear. The recent death of a childhood friend turned my mind to a little book, a book of four essays written by Oliver Sacks called Simply Gratitude. Four simple, short essays that he wrote towards the end of his life. He had quite an amazing and interesting life. When I conjure up images of Oliver Sacks, it's the older gentleman in the lower left, but it's always amazing to look at people in their youth and in their prime and to realize the journey that we're all on if we're fortunate enough to live as he did to age 82. The small excerpt that when read, written when Oliver Sacks learned that he was dying of cancer, captures for me a profound sense of thanksgiving. Oliver Sacks was raised in an Orthodox Jewish family, but he largely abandoned that tradition when he felt that his community had rejected him because of his sexual orientation. Later in his life, he wrote about how much had changed over the decades, and how he felt accepted now within the Jewish community. But in any event, Oliver Sacks was not religious in any traditional sense. As you might expect, as I prepared for this morning's service, I looked about for material on Thanksgiving. There is no shortage of it. The images are usually of family gathered around a table, feasting on turkey and pumpkin pie, the idealized family in the idealized suburb, still dominates the mainstream media on the topic of Thanksgiving. I think it simplifies and trivializes Thanksgiving. We're encouraged to give thanks for many things in our lives, friendships and turkey dinners and family pets. And I suppose these are some of the treasures that Thornton Wilder was talking about, but I find it disturbing that we're encouraged to focus our thankfulness on our good fortune. There's a disturbing aspect to Thanksgiving in this context when we give thanks for what we have in our lives, largely because they are things that many others don't have. We give thanks for living in a peaceful country when others in the world are in the midst of the horrors of war. We give thanks for the beautiful, warm, sunny days, like the ones we just experienced this past week, when hundreds of people in Haiti have been killed or had their lives destroyed by Hurricane Matthew. We give thanks for good health when others are suffering and dying from health-related maladies. Some of you in this sanctuary today may be feeling less than thankful as you struggle with issues in your life. So this may sound kind of strange coming from a minister. Surely it's important that we remember and celebrate the good things in our lives. And of course, that's so. And I could have designed a traditional sermon for you today around those many blessings in our lives for which we should give thanks. But today, on this Thanksgiving, I'd like to focus on something more profound. Maybe something that can sustain us even when we feel we have lost some of the treasures in our life. Sometimes, in fact, maybe most times, the Christian notion of thanksgiving gets unfairly simplified into giving thanks for the good things in our lives, with an underlying message that God has bestowed these blessings on us. The big problem here is that then God must also be held responsible for the flip side. God must be responsible for the curses and the bad health, physical and mental, the accidents. Accidents like where we were born, Halifax or Aleppo. The hurricanes that killed some 700 people this week in Haiti. If you reject this kind of definition of thanksgiving, if we focus on giving thanks for what's good in our lives, we are reduced to giving thanks to our good luck and our good fortune, for being winners in life's lottery. And then, I think our UU tradition does not point us in this direction. Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist teacher, tells us we should be thankful for four things. And here I'll take the liberty of putting a UU spin on those things. I think here we may find the true basis for our treasures, those things which are foundational to happiness and to a lifelong thankfulness. First is the miracle of our own unique consciousness. How often do we stop to give thanks for this mysterious essence, this amazing ability to participate in the universe, to be a part of and yet somehow separate from all that goes on around us? Oliver Sacks again wrote, "There will be no one like us when we are gone, but then there is no one like us, there is no one like anyone else ever." To have a mind, to be aware, to have free will and agency, to be able to learn from the past and to anticipate the future, to be able to design and create, all of these functions of the human brain are still beyond our ability to comprehend. The recent death of a childhood friend, the first death in a close circle of friends that I grew up with, has been on my mind for the past few weeks. We had a little memorial service for Bob in the form of a conference call this week amongst his old friends who are scattered across the country. It made me think of that children's story this morning, because in a way, all that's left of Bob is a good story. And we share lots of good stories, memories of Bob. I also read a piece that I use at many memorial services. Part of it reads, "Life is the real mystery hidden from us because of the veil of familiarity that covers our eyes." Think about it. That a fragment of the materials of earth should grow into forms of beauty, feel love and joy and sorrow, become a temple of ideas and dreams, and send thoughts and messages out through all the reaches of time and space. That it should mold meaning and patterns of beauty into the lives of others, and gather the threads of friendship, devotion, admiration, and loyalty from the hundreds of hearts to weave for itself a garment of happiness. This is the marvelous mystery. This is the supreme poetic achievement of time and of nature. So let us first be thankful for our unique experience of life. Second, Thich Nhat Hanh tells us to be thankful for the stunning universe that we find ourselves in. The universe in all its manifestations, with all its beings, animal, vegetable, and mineral, that sustain our existence. And let's not forget the blessings of children, that we may perpetuate the human experience of life in this universe. At one time, most people saw all of this as the creation of God, and for that they were justifiably thankful. Today, I think the default position is that all of this amazing universe is just a given fact. Why the universe exists is not a question that comes up very often. Most of us spend very little time thinking about why any of this should exist. And yet, this remains the oldest and most profound question of philosophy and science and religion. Why should anything at all exist, let alone this spectacular and infinite universe? This is the basis for my own sense of spirituality, my connection with the mystery of it all. Our human consciousness, a part of the universe itself, has been able to piece together a story of the creation of the universe that is more amazing, more mind-boggling than any creation story ever told in the history of humanity. And there have been many of those. Our science tells us that at the very beginning, at the first instant of time, the die was cast that would lead to all that we see around us, to you and me and the infinite possibilities of life and consciousness. Let's not lose our sense of awe and wonder why any of this should be. Let us give thanks for creation. Third, Thich Nhat Hanh tells us to be thankful for our teachers in all their many guises, who've helped us to find meaning in our lives. The fundamental role of a teacher is to help us, to show us a way to give meaning in our lives. And there are many ways to be teachers. The best way to be a teacher is by example. The best teachers in my life have been people who I've admired and then tried to model my own life after, or some aspect of my life. But teaching can be an active thing, it can be a passive thing. But we are all teachers. At the end of Oliver Sacks' final essay, which he called Sabbath, that was published just 2 weeks before his death, he writes, "I find my thoughts increasingly not on the supernatural or spiritual, but on what it means to be living a good and worthwhile life, achieving a sense of peace within oneself." See, we're born restless beings. We need many different teachers in our lives to help us to respond to that still, quiet voice within us. And if we're lucky, to find that sense of peace that Oliver Sacks wrote about. So let us be thankful for all those who loved us enough to teach us. And finally, Thich Nhat Hanh tells us to be thankful for our friends and the community that supports us, especially in times of difficulty. We are social beings. We're not meant to live as isolated individuals. We need and crave intimacy in our lives. And we need and crave the acceptance and support of a community. So let us give thanks today for our true friends. Buddhist teaching warns us of the danger of attachments, the kind of attachment that comes from centering our gratitude on the things in our life that can be taken away from us. So in conclusion, may we be thankful for the great gifts of our life. Thich Nhat Hanh is telling us that our mind, the staggeringly beautiful world we are a part of, the love that is manifest in a great teacher, and the support of our community are the things we should ultimately be giving thanks for. It's this expansive view of thanksgiving that I think is consistent with Unitarian Universalist understanding. In this, his essay, Oliver Sacks says, "I have been a sentient being, a thinking animal, on this beautiful planet, and that in itself has been an enormous privilege and an adventure. This, for me, is the proper and the profound focus of thanksgiving." May it be so. Amen.